Today is the fourth day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is a privilege. I'm grateful to be here with you today. Here around the Global Campfire. I hope you're grateful to be here today as well. As we bring another weekend for a landing. First time we get to do this in the month of October. And I guess tomorrow we'll step into a shiny, sparkly week in the first full week of the month of October. We're here now. And what we do at the end of the week is look back. Right? We get to start a shiny, sparkly new week every week and tell the story. How did the story go? I'm looking back going, not bad. But yeah, some missteps, some things I wish hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't stepped into. Man, I wish I could have kept my wits about me. Gosh, isn't it hard to pay attention? Pay attention to what we're doing. Pay attention to the implications of how it goes and how hard it is to learn those lessons. But since we're here in a rhythm, day by day, step by step, it is such an opportunity for us to pay attention. And the scriptures invite us constantly to pay attention. Eyes to see, ears to hear, pay attention. And so we reflect back because we're putting the finishing touches on the story of this week. And we'll start with a clean slate tomorrow. But we will always be able to improve our path if we're paying attention to what we're doing and where we're going. So I am grateful to be here with you today. Grateful for the next step forward. We have just moved into the book of Jeremiah. Today we will be moving into the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church at Colossae today. So let's jump in. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 31 through 4, verse 18. Consider the Lord's word, people of this generation. Haven't I been a desert, a land of thick darkness for Israel? Why do my people say that they are free to wander around and no longer come to me? A young woman can't forget her jewelry, or a bride her veils. Yet my people have forgotten me for countless days. You carefully planned ways to look for love. You taught your ways to wicked women. You have the blood from poor and innocent people on your clothes. You didn't kill them from breaking into your home. In spite of all this, you say, I'm innocent. God will turn his anger from me because I haven't sinned. You change your mind so easily. You will be put to shame by Egypt as you were put to shame by Assyria. You will also leave this place with your hands over your head, because the Lord has rejected those you trust. You will not be helped by them. A saying: if a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and marries another man, her first husband shouldn't go back to her again. The land would become thoroughly polluted. You have acted like a prostitute who has many lovers. And now you want to come back to me, declares the Lord. Look at the bare hills and see. You have had sex with men in every place. You sat by the roadside waiting for them like a nomad in the deserts. You have polluted the land with your prostitution and wickedness. So the rain has been withheld, and there have been no spring showers. Yet you have the shameless look of a prostitute, and you refuse to blush. But now you are calling to me. You say, Father, You have been my companion ever since I was young. He won't hold a grudge forever. He won't always be angry. You have said and done all the evil things that you could. When Josiah was king, the Lord asked me, "Did you see what unfaithful Israel did? She went up every high mountain and under every large tree, and she acted like a prostitute there. I thought that after she had done all this, that she would come back to me, but she didn't come back, and her treacherous sister Judah saw her. Judah saw that I sent unfaithful Israel away because of her adultery, and that I gave Israel her divorce papers. But treacherous Judah, her sister, wasn't afraid. She also acted like a prostitute, because she wasn't concerned about acting like a prostitute. She polluted the land and committed adultery with standing stones and wood pillars. Even after all this, Israel's treacherous sister Judah didn't wholeheartedly come back to me. She was deceitful, declares the Lord." And the Lord said to me, "Unfaithful Israel was less guilty than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these things to the north. Come back, unfaithful Israel. It is the Lord speaking. I will no longer frown on you, because I'm merciful, declares the Lord. I will no longer be angry with you. Admit that you've done wrong. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have given yourself to strangers under every large tree. You have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. Come back, you rebellious people, declares the Lord. I'm your husband. I will take you, one from every city and two from every family, and bring you to Zion. I will give you shepherds after my own heart. They will be shepherds who feed you with knowledge and insights. In those days you will be fertile and your population will increase in the land, declares the Lord. People will no longer talk about the Ark of the Lord's promise. It will no longer come to mind. They won't remember it, miss it, or make another one. At that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. All nations will gather in Jerusalem because the name of the Lord will be found there. They will no longer follow their own stubborn evil ways. In those days, the nation of Judah will live with the nation of Israel. They will come together from the land of the north to the land that I gave their ancestors as their own property. I wanted to treat you like children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful property among the nations. I thought that you would call me father and wouldn't turn away from me. But like a wife who betrays her husband, so you, nation of Israel, betrayed me, declares the Lord. The sound of crying is heard on the hills. It is the crying and the pleading of the people of Israel. They have become crooked and have forgotten the Lord their God. Come back, you rebellious people, and I will forgive you for being unfaithful. Here we are. We have come to you because you are the Lord our God. Truly, the noise from the hills, from the mountains, is the noise of false worship. Truly, the Lord our God will rescue us. Ever since we were young, the shameful worship of Baal has taken everything our ancestors worked for, their flocks and herds, their sons and daughters. We must lie down in our shame and be covered by our disgrace. Ever since we were young, we and our ancestors have sinned against the Lord our God. We haven't obeyed the Lord our God. The Lord declares, if you come back, Israel, if you come back to me, If you take your disgusting idols out of my sight, and you don't wander away from me, if you take the oath as the Lord lives, in an honest, fair, and right way, then the nations will be blessed and they will be honored by me. This is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem. Plow your unplowed fields, and don't plant among thorns. Be circumcised by the Lord and get rid of the foreskins of your hearts, people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. If you don't, my fury will flare up like a fire. It will burn and no one will be able to put it out because of the evil you do. Report this message in Judah. Make it heard in Jerusalem. Say, blow the ram's horn throughout the land. Shout loudly and say, gather together. Let's go into the fortified cities. Raise the flag to signal people to go to Zion. Take cover. Don't just stand there. I'm bringing disaster and widespread destruction from the north. A lion has come out of its lair. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has left his place to destroy your land. Your cities will be ruined and no one will live in them. So put on sackcloth, mourn, and cry, because the Lord's burning anger hasn't turned away from us. When that day comes, declares the Lord, the king and the leaders will lose their courage. The priests will be stunned. The prophets will be amazed and astonished. I said, Almighty Lord, you certainly have deceived these people and Jerusalem. You said that everything would go well for them, but a sword is held at their throats. At that time, it will be said to these people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind from the heights will blow in the desert on the tracks of my people. It will not be a wind that winnows or cleanses. It will be a stronger wind than that. It will come from me. Now I will pass sentence on them. The enemy comes up like clouds. His chariots are like a raging wind. His horses are faster than eagles. How horrible it will be for us. We will be destroyed. Jerusalem, wash the evil from your heart so that you may be rescued. Don't continue making evil plans. A message is heard from Dan, and a report of disaster comes from the mountains of Ephraim. Warn the nations about these things. Bring them to the attention of Jerusalem. Hostile troops are coming from a distant country. They are shouting battle cries against the cities of Judah. They surround them like men guarding a field because Judah has rebelled against me, declares the Lord. You brought this on yourself. This is your punishment. It is bitter. It breaks your heart. Okay, as we said at the beginning, we're going into a new letter in the New Testament, the 12th book of the New Testament. Another letter from the Apostle Paul, this one to the church at Colossae. And Colossae is not an unfamiliar congregation to Paul. It's a city about 100 miles from Ephesus, and Paul spent considerable time in Ephesus. And the ancient ruins of Colossae, they're in the western part of modern-day Turkey, but I actually think I just recently read they're starting to do excavations just recently there to uncover ancient Colossae. So during Paul's life, though, Colossae was a bustling city, a cultural melting pot. a lot of mingling, a lot of philosophical and religious ideas coming together, this being a metropolitan area in the Roman Empire. And so that kind of culture, that kind of thought had made its way into the Colossian church. And so Paul is writing a letter in response. And similar to Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians is considered to be another of the letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison in Rome, as he awaited trial before the emperor. And Colossians generally kind of breaks down into two different sections. The first, we'll see, is a doctrinal issue. So there were people that had come into the church, and they were teaching the worship of angels and other mixed in foreign rituals into the Christian worship. And so Paul addresses this by just declaring that Jesus is supreme over all creation. He writes this vast statements like the universe itself was created by Jesus and through Jesus and is sustained through the lordship of Jesus. And then next, Paul addresses something that we've seen in many of the other letters, circumcised versus uncircumcised, a controversy that kind of really, well, we've gone into this at length and we'll probably go into it more, but it's such a cultural thing, such a Jew-Gentile thing, as the early church begins to understand that the Lord is welcoming all who believe into the family. But at any rate, this circumcised versus uncircumcised issue had found its way into Colossae and into the Colossian church. Paul has shared clearly his views about this in other letters, and so he shares his views clearly in the letter to the Colossians. And we have a lot of Paul's letters, so we're able to kind of see the different challenges and the different strengths and encouragements of the different churches, but how some of the issues make their way into all the churches, because that is the culture of the time. I guess the irony is that a lot of the challenges, they may have different clothes on, but they're still with us in one way or another. And so when we can identify that and look into these letters, we can, well, we can experience growth, but we can also experience the same kind of correction that these letters bring as we bring them into our own contexts. So it's important that as we go into Colossians, we remember Paul's in prison. This is written by a man that at any point could be called before the emperor, and it is a life or death judgment. And so this carries some gravity. It should. It is a fantastic picture of the lordship of Jesus in our lives, and this reality of what that lordship not only offers our lives, but offers all humanity. And so we begin. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and from our brother Timothy, to God's holy and faithful people, our brothers and sisters who are united with Christ in the city of Colossae, goodwill and peace from God our Father are yours. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our prayers for you. We thank God because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people. You have these because of the hope which is kept safe for you in heaven. Some time ago, you heard about this hope in the good news, which is the message of truth. This good news is present with you now. It is producing results and spreading all over the world, as it did among you from the first day you heard it. At that time, you came to know what God's kindness truly means. You learned about this good news from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. He is taking your place here as a trustworthy deacon for Christ and has told us about the love that the Spirit has given you. For this reason, we have not stopped praying for you since the day we heard about you. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through every kind of spiritual wisdom and insight. We ask this so that you will live the kind of lives that prove you belong to the Lord. Then you will want to please Him in every way as you grow in producing every kind of good work by this knowledge about God. We ask Him to strengthen you by His glorious might with all the power you need to patiently endure everything with joy. You will also thank the Father who has made you able to share the light, which is what God's people inherit. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of His Son, whom He loves. His Son paid the price to free us, which means that our sins are forgiven. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they are kings or lords, rulers or powers, everything has been created through Him and for Him. He existed before everything and holds everything together. Psalm 76. For the choir director, on stringed instruments, a psalm by Asaph, a song. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tent is in Salem. His home is in Zion. There He destroyed flaming arrows, shields, swords, and weapons of war. Selah. You are the Radiant One. You are more majestic than the ancient mountains. Brave people were robbed. They died. None of the warriors were able to lift a hand. At your stern warning, O God of Jacob, chariot riders and horses were put to sleep. You alone must be feared. Who can stand in your presence when you become angry? From heaven you announced a verdict. The earth was fearful and silent when you rose to judge, O God, when you rose to save every oppressed person on earth. Selah. Even angry mortals will praise you. You will wear the remainder of their anger. Make vows to the Lord your God and keep them. Let everyone around him bring gifts to the one who must be feared. He cuts short the lives of influential people. He terrifies the kings of the earth. Proverbs 24, 21, and 22. Fear the Lord, my son. Fear the king as well. Do not associate with those who always insist upon change, because disaster will come to them suddenly. Who knows what misery both may bring? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another day. Thank you for another month. Thank you for bringing us through another week. We are grateful. And even as we end this week and begin this new letter to the Colossians, open our hearts, open our spirits, open our minds. Help us be paying attention. There are so many distractions, so many things to pull us in so many directions, and so many feelings that go along with all of those places that we get pulled. Stabilize us. Make us stable and firm in body, mind, and spirit as we bring this week to a close and prepare for the new one. Holy Spirit, come. Only you can bring perfect peace, perfect sight, perfect insight. We ask for it. We seek it. Lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. Lots are going on around here. It's the 20th year. As if you didn't already know that, since I'm like really reminding myself every day with gratitude that every day is the 20th. I'm so grateful for that. Next week, we're going to be packing our bags and going on a little trip. Actually, a big one. And I'll be sharing some more about that next week. But right now, a couple days ago, we launched the Clean Canteens in fall colors with the Daily Audio Bible 20th year anniversary emblem. And we did that in the springtime. But now we're doing it in the fall, autumn, with autumn colors. The two colors, we did two colors in the spring. And now these two colors in the autumn are Corsair, which is a muted, really modern blue color. And then Seafoam, which is a muted greenish color that we love very much. And those are going, and they will be gone. And that is the last of it. That is the last of them. There won't be any more 20th year anniversary clean canteens for sale. So grab one while you can. If you missed them in the springtime because they went so fast, then here's your chance. If you're collecting them, then here's your chance. I love them both. Like, I'm trying to decide before they're all gone, but I love them both. So grab yourself one of those. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Emily, turning her eyes upon Jesus in Virginia. I was listening to the prayers yesterday and heard two ladies pray for me, both from Louisiana, taken with love, and Tiffany. Thank you for your prayers. I heard them at just the right time, and your words were just so encouraging to me. I did have my spinal procedure, and as far as I know, the spinal fluid leak is sealed, but now I'm having another problem because it's sealed, and so I'm still homebound and waiting on the Lord's healing, and so I really appreciate your words of encouragement to just keep keep hanging on. And it's interesting that we're starting Philippians, because as I've been homebound with health, I've really thought about Paul as he's writing this letter, as he's under house arrest. And it's just such an encouragement to still have joy and to know that God has a purpose. And I look at what Paul was able to accomplish in encouraging the church while he was under house arrest. And so just that God would open my eyes to how he can use this time.
Hi, my beautiful Dab fam. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels on the last day of September, the 30th. Let's go before our gracious, gracious Lord's beautiful throne of grace and lift up our dabbers. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your beautiful, holy, and righteous name, Lord God. You are faithful, Father God, and you love us, Lord. You made everything, and you looked down and you said, it is very good, Lord God. You said it is very good. Father, we come before you as your creation, humbly bowed down before you, asking that you would listen to our prayers, you would heal them, and you would move mightily according to your will. Heavenly Father, we lift up Caroline's husband, Mickey, to you from Wisconsin. Father, he has a brain tumor stage 4. Lord, it's considered uncurable, but we know you are the God of miracles. You are the way maker. You cure what is uncurable. We pray that he wouldn't just resume his life, but he would be abounding in health according to your gracious power, to your innumerable grace and mercy, Lord God, and that he would give you all the glory, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up Melissa from Albertville, Alabama. Melissa, her cousin Tegan, 6 years old, suffering from anxiety, and she's going to get the breathing prayer book for Christmas, Lord God, which we know and believe that it will help her. We also pray for her mother and her grandmother, Lord, that you would restore this family to faith and solid security and stability, Lord, that they could raise Tegan up to know you and to be safe and secure in the home and to feel cared for and loved and comforted. Lord God, we also lift up Melissa for her own healing, Lord, and her own health issues, that you would come alongside and help her, Father God. Lord, we lift up Jesse, Lori's son, to you, Father God, who suffered the last 5 years from a mystery illness. Lord, move mightily in his life. Restore him to the days of his youth, to full health, Father God, for your glory.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Anne in Texas. I ask for prayer, please. I had an accident last Saturday, a few days ago, at a gym, which seems like where I always have accidents. And I fell and fell into a metal stepper, and I fractured my shoulder in 2 places. And it looks like I have to have a shoulder replacement. And it's in my right shoulder. I'm right-handed. I can't do anything with that arm or hand. And the pain is extremely intense, and I'm scared, and, you know, I'm just, yeah, I don't want to have a shoulder replacement, and I just really would love prayer support for getting through this by the grace of God, and for the pain to be lessened, and God to provide healing. It's going to be a long setback. And anyway, I just thank you so much. Anyone that would pray for me, and my husband is my caretaker, and we run a business, and we're having to do that. And he's just running ragged, and he's having surgery tomorrow for a kidney stone. He's been in a lot of pain, so we just have been having a lot of setback. Thank you, family, for praying for me. Anne in Texas, God bless you.
Good morning, Deb. This is for a woman by the name of Jane. She called in about her brother, Chris. She's his caretaker right now, I guess, for his foot injury, but she says he can get kind of abusive. She loves him. She enjoys caring for him, but she said it is toxic at times. So, Jane, sweetheart, I just want to lift you up and first of all, also just say that, wow, you're a very, very special sister and your brother is so blessed to have you. So I stand in agreement and I stand on God's word and I stand with you in your prayer. I can hear how much you love your brother. I can also hear what a wonderful Christian woman you are. So that your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is so evident in how you care and love for your brother. So I just lift you up for God's strength, for your brother's salvation, and that may he come to know Jesus. And just give up some of that anger. Just give it up. You know, we're all dealing with something from our past, and I think that's the beautiful thing about being Christian and having a relationship with God, is that we're always searching our heart and we're just always asking God to reveal to us the sin that we need to have washed away. So my sister, I stand with you, I pray with you in the mighty name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. Calling in to pray for Mikey. His wife Carolyn called in and said that he's been diagnosed with the glioblastoma stage 4 brain tumor. And my wife Jan was diagnosed with the same kind of cancer and almost 3 years ago. And she's 75 now and going strong. And I believe a lot of that is because of the prayer, some of which has directly come from this community. And so I want to thank the community for that, and also just say that, Lord, you know how this works. These are good people, and they're people who love you and have you in their heart, and they can still be a light to this world as they navigate this diagnosis. But it's just a diagnosis, and there's so many people living past the prognosis. And so I would just say, seek out other prayer too. There's a group, I think it's called Warriors of the Golden Gray. That's a Christian group that is on Facebook that prays constantly for people with glioblastoma. And I would just say that there is so much love through this community, and that just stay in there, Lord. Be with them, Lord. And just thank you so much, Lord, that you're going to bring healing and comfort. And with the last few seconds I have, I want to thank you guys for the book, too. I gave it to my son, who is going to share it with our granddaughter, who's currently in the country of Georgia. And she's in school there, in an English school. And she has some anxiety, and I think the book will help.
Good morning. I want to lift up a few prayer requests. First is for the father that called in. His baby is still in the womb, and the doctors have told him that he has, I forget the name of it. It's like trisomy 28 or something like that, but it's a genetic disorder, and they didn't expect him to live more than 6 weeks in the womb. They're halfway through, and we praise God that he is still alive and moving. Lord, so we just ask that as you form Caleb in his mother's womb, that you completely heal him of whatever genetic disorder or whatever has broken with his genetics, that you would just make it whole, that you would just cover him with your blood. And we ask that you would bring him to full term, and he would be born and can live a full life. And I want to pray for the sister that called in. Her brother's dealing with homelessness. His name is Craig. Lord, we pray that you just touch his mind and his heart, and you just heal him from head to toe. Just renew his mind, renew his identity. Give him the tools and support he needs to move on and improve his life. And help him just take one step at a time and be open and vulnerable to people who are offering help. And I want to pray for, again, the sister that called in for her brother. He had foot surgery, but it's more than just the foot surgery and the healing. It's healing of trauma from earlier in life. And he is harboring bitterness and anger. And often it comes out even towards the people that are trying to help him and love him. And so we just